Hi, I'm Fred Kasten. Welcome to Jazz New Orleans here on New Orleans Public Radio, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. Every Friday night at 8, 2 hours of the best jazz from the last 70 years, with a strong accent on New Orleans, and an extended conversation with our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week. This week, that is, with trumpeter, composer, and band leader, Randy Brecker.
My father was a semi-professional pianist. He had music in the house from our earliest recollections, and he loved trumpet players, particularly being from Philadelphia, and it was the early 50s. Clifford Brown was around and active in Philadelphia. That was kind of his home base for the group he had with Max Roach. So he lit up the town.
Lots more coming up from Randy Brecker in about 45 minutes here on Jazz New Orleans. Right now, a tune written by J. Fred Coots in the 30s. It became especially popular during the World War II years, when folks from General Eisenhower to Rosie the Riveter began to behave in maybe a tad less circumspect ways than before. After all, for all we know, we may never meet again. For all we know, this is where the story ends. Stefan Skajari, For All We Know.
Thank you.
Stefan Skajari. Nice gospel spin on For All We Know. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org, New Orleans Public Radio. Hi, I'm Fred Caston. Thanks for stopping by for Jazz New Orleans tonight. Up ahead, an update from Paquito de Rivera on one of Dizzy Gillespie's earliest meldings of jazz and Cuban rhythms, the second most popular tune by the man who wrote Darktown, Strutter's Ball, and a Hoagie Carmichael classic that was a part of the original War of the Worlds broadcast 75 years ago. Jazz New Orleans is made possible in part thanks to the generosity of anonymous New Orleans music lovers and the music lovers at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, 626 Frenchman Street. Complete schedule information available at snugjazz.com. Here's a tune by Duke Ellington, very likely assembled in the studio at the time of the recording. Still sounds fresh, still sounds like a lot of fun, and it features the great Coleman Hawkins from the Duke Ellington Meets Coleman Hawkins recording. Duke Ellington's Limbo Jazz. Thank you. Open Board keyboard wizard Barbara Dennerline with Green Paradise, and Paquita de Rivera with an all-star band including Arturo Sandoval, Dizzy Gillespie's early mix of jazz and Cuban rhythms, Tanga. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org, with our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week extended conversation coming up in less than 20 minutes now with trumpeter, composer, Randy Brecker, who'll be in New Orleans next Tuesday night for shows at Snug Harbor and for a Wednesday set at the Sandbar at UNO. Here's a Django Reinhardt composition, beautifully interpreted by guitarist Frank Vanola and friends, Flesh Door.
Thank you.
native of Azerbaijan, longtime resident of Holland, and now a fixture on the New York jazz scene, and regular visitor to New Orleans, composer and pianist Amina Figueroa, Come Escape With Me, and the great Chick Corea, playing both marimba and piano on Wigwam. Time now for our extended conversation with the Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week, trumpeter and flugelhornist, composer, bandleader, and founder, along with his late brother, Michael, of the great Brecker Brothers band, Randy Brecker. Randy Brecker and younger brother Michael grew up in Philadelphia.
My father was a semi-professional pianist. He had music in the house from our earliest recollections, and he loved trumpet players, particularly being from Philadelphia, and it was the early 50s. Clifford Brown was around and active in Philadelphia. That was kind of his home base for the group he had with Max Roach. So he lit up the town.
Randy Brecker started playing trumpet when he was 8.
Loved the sound of it, and I'd grown up listening and hearing Clifford, and my father had jam sessions. There was a really fine player who's still active in Detroit, Bobby Mojica, that would come over and play. I just loved the sound of the trumpet. Something about blowing it and the majesty of the sound still intrigues me.
Thanks to their father, Randy and Michael's early musical influences at home were almost exclusively jazz.
Mostly bebop, in the house. He was kind of the jazz police when it came to that. He didn't like pop music. He didn't like classical music. He said it all sounded the same. I think he was kind of incorrect in that statement. But he loved jazz, so that's what we heard. Until it was an R&B station right next to the jazz station on AM radio. They were both at the end of the dial, and I think around the same time Mike and I discovered R&B too, because there was a great R&B profile in Philly. Later, it was the home of Philadelphia International Records and Gamble and Huff and many R&B artists, Patti LaBelle. It was a big blues town, of course. Was the home base of innumerable organ trios started by the great Jimmy Smith and all those who followed him. So there was a lot of varied kinds of activity. And plus, I studied with a trumpet teacher from the Philadelphia Orchestra. That was an influence. And believe it or not, it was also Philly was the home base of the original American Bandstand.
Right.
So we were allowed to watch that. And Dick Clark was at in his heart a jazz fan, but loved R&B, so he had many African-American groups on the show that I would have not otherwise have a chance to see or hear. A lot of great R&B, early R&B groups. So all these things combined added up to a picture with a lot of different styles of music in it.
After high school, where he'd starred in the stage band, Randy Brecker went to Indiana University, which had a renowned classical music program, but no formal jazz studies.
But I studied with Dave Baker, who's one of the prime architects of jazz education, although he was just teaching privately in Indianapolis. So I got a pretty firm basis of theoretical knowledge just from him. But it wasn't a class, we just kind
right.
of went from one thing to another, studied Monk. He was a pretty good piano player, and he used me in his band. By then, he had an accident with his chops and was a wonderful trombonist with the George Russell group. But when I got to know him, he was playing cello, and he used me in his group around Indianapolis. So that was also an important part of my musical upbringing.
Brecker also got, as fate would have it, additional schooling in R&B at Indiana.
Pure by luck, a young gentleman by the name of Booker T. Jones was was in school playing trombone and getting a degree in music education and music composition. and he had taken a break from Booker T and the MGs, so I got to know him really well, and he had a kind of local Booker T and the college MGs. We played around school for a couple years, so I got a kind of a education in Stacks and that style of music, too, at the same time.
Even with all that, Randy Brecker remained uncertain about his major.
I was afraid to go whole hog into music. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but it kind of just drew me in. And at one point, you know, strangely enough, I had a one semester to go to finish. I would have gotten a liberal arts degree with, I think my minor was trumpet performance or something. At this point, I forget. But we won a contest of 1965 Notre Dame Jazz Festival, and I was given award, trumpet award, by the great Clark Turry, who later called me when I moved to New York. But one of the prizes was an extended State Department tour of the Middle East and Asia. So instead of finishing that last semester, we went on the road. I think it was January or February of 1966. I ended up spending the summer in Germany, and then I transferred to New York University because I wanted to move to New York. I had met all these guys, Clark Terry. There was a contest in Vienna that summer. Oh, once again, pure luck, where the judges were Art Farmer, Cannonball Adderley, J.J. Johnson, Joe Zawinul, Ron Carter, and Mel Lewis. And I won a prize at this contest. Plus, I met amazing young musicians. We were all thrown into the same youth hostel, people like George Mraz and Joachim Kuhn, Miroslav Vitus, Jan Hammer, Claudio Roditi, Tomas Stanko, Eddie Daniels, Franco Ambrosetti, Jigs Wiggum. Imagine that. That's where we all met each other, and a lot of us decided to move to New York right after that. So I stayed at NYU. It never quite got a degree, but I got sucked into the studio scene. There was so much work. Plus, Clark Turry asked me to join his band. Mel Lewis asked me to join Thad and Mel band, so I got a lot of work really early on. I was really in the right place at the right time. I caught the tail end in New York of the really classic studio scene. You know, guys like Thad and Mel were doing jingles, and then Oliver Nelson was still in New York writing, and a lot of great writers. So I was with Snooky Young, Bernie Royal. People like that were still around, and I caught the last 2 or 3 years of that, and then it kind of shifted into rock and roll in the studios. But, you know, I still had my foot in that, too, and I was kind of known as the young guy. And then my brother came to New York, as did Dave Sanborn, who I had met at the Stan Kenton Band Camps when we were 15. And this all led to me forming a band that became known as the Brecker Brothers.
The Brecker Brothers' signature combination of jazz soloing virtuosity, intricate hard bop horn lines, and high-energy funk won a lot of fans, exerted a powerful influence on other musicians, and garnered the brothers multiple Grammys. Here are the brothers with the title tune from Randy Brecker's Grammy-winning 2003 release, 34th and Lex. Yeah. Randy Brecker featuring his late brother Michael, title tune from Randy's 34th and Lex. Randy will be in New Orleans next week for shows at Snug Harbor on Tuesday night and at the UNO Sandbar Series on Wednesday.